So I'm going to tell you a story. Back on May 3rd, we arrest him because he gets into an argument with his significant other, punches her in the face multiple times, knocks out a tooth, busts her nose, then decides to choke her. Chokes her almost unconscious, kicks her out of the car, steals the car, takes her mom's credit card, does fraud with that, tears the car up, criminal mischief, and then here comes the nice part. After all that, he texts the daughter of the lady that he beat up and says, hey, on the way to your house, gonna burn it down with you in it, to a 13-year-old girl. Great guy.
So that's Sheriff Bob Johnson at a press conference last week talking about Mark Anthony Freight. And then allegedly he was released with a monitor. And then on June 2nd had an interaction with the sheriff's office where they found him in a car with an unsecured toddler that he then tried to take off when the officer told him he was going to get arrested for having an expired license. So, you know, what the sheriff said is he took off and, the sheriff's deputy had his arm still in the car and the deputy decided not to chase because of the kid and the danger of the kid. They wound up apprehending him later with the bloodhounds when they found him driving around without the kid in the car. Then attached lewd and lascivious charges against minors to him, and he's sitting in the Milton jail for $1.7 million bond right now. Joining us, we've got Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. Way to start off a Monday.
Yeah, no kidding. So, I know the sheriff got asked the question, do you think he'll stay in jail this time? And he could just tell he was exasperated because, I mean, this is not somebody who should be out on the streets for any reason. What am I misunderstanding? How does this happen?
Andrew, I don't think you're misunderstanding anything. I think this happens probably more often than we would like to admit. In most cases, it probably doesn't turn out this way. The state is the one who classifies inmates and who is eligible for these kind of releases, not the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what their criteria is. I do know that in many cases, people get out of jail that probably shouldn't.
And I know you guys don't control it. I know it's frustrating. Hey, I did have one question, though, about this, because I think this incident, aside from the obvious problems with our judicial system and the dangers that even an ordinary traffic stop can pose to your officers, it raises a different question, which is the decision about when to and when not to chase, because you wound up in a high-speed chase with him later in the day just without the kid in the car. How do you make that balancing act? I mean, the deputy on the scene immediately said on the video, don't chase, don't chase, don't chase because of the kid. That was a very quick decision. But how do you make that decision?
Well, you make those decisions based on your training and experience. And Sergeant Miller did a phenomenal job in recognizing that immediately. There was no doubt in his mind. There was no hesitation. He knew that pursuing that vehicle was more dangerous than it was worth because of that child. And you're absolutely right. Those are decisions that are made on a day in, day out basis by deputies and officers across this nation, and they are made split second. When your adrenaline is high as it can be, you're excited, you're scared. And those are difficult split-second decisions to make. And, most of the time, they're made flawlessly. But occasionally, those are situations that can go very, very wrong very, very quickly.
Yeah, and look, in that situation, right, you choose not to chase and then something bad happens and you think, oh, man, if only. And if you choose to chase, something bad could happen and then you think, if only we had. I mean, it's, either way, you could face, obviously, deep regrets. Anything else happen over the weekend that we ought to know about, Chief?
Late last week, we had an incident that concerned me a little bit. Our deputies responded to a disturbance complaint at East Milton Home. According to the information the deputies had, the suspect and a victim had previously been in a domestic-type relationship, and evidently that was the impetus for the altercation. The argument turned physical. The victim attempted to remove herself from the situation, and the suspect wasn't going to have any of that. So he grabbed her by the hair to try to keep her from leaving. Fortunately, there were some witnesses or bystanders, if you will, that were able to assist her in getting free. So she fled. As she did, the suspect brandished knives and began chasing her. Fortunately, she was able to secure in a neighbor's home until the deputies got there. But when they did, then he barricaded himself in a shed close by. Deputies tried to talk him into coming out, and they weren't successful. So they sent a canine in to see if he could convince him to come out. And by gosh, he did. He was arrested.
They're very persuasive.
They are very persuasive. He was charged with domestic violence battery, ag assault battery, and false imprisonment, as well as resisting arrest. It's fortunate there were witnesses there, because I really hate to think about where that could have gone had she been alone with this fool chasing her with knives.
Yeah, wow. It's all, and you know, we talk about these cases all the time because it's just, it's tragically, it is so common, and unfortunately, it does not always end, in what this case was a relatively good outcome. Hey, Chief, hang on for a second, because I did have one other thing I wanted to ask you about, because it's big in the news. I wanted to get your perspective on it. The proposal that was announced over the weekend, a federal approach to some gun regulations, one of which would be to promote red flag laws around the nation, like, of course, we have had since Parkland. My understanding is somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000 times that has been used to take away somebody's gun temporarily because they are psychologically unfit to hold them. How many times, do you know even how many times this has been done in Santa Rosa County?
Andrew, I can recall one time over the past few years. I can only recall one.
Okay.
I do remember there was another time where we thought it might have been appropriate. However, we ultimately went another route. I remember doing it one time in Santa Rosa County.
Okay, and in that situation, did it seem sort of obvious to you that that was justified, or was it a marginal situation?
No, it wasn't even close. In that particular case, the suspect was delusional. The suspect was indeed making statements indicating that he intended to harm others. There was no question. But in the cases of, you know, the colloquial red flag laws, that has to go before a judge. The police don't just make a decision, you know, I don't think you need guns, we're going to come take your guns.
Yeah.
They have to draft up a document, and they have to go before a judge, and a judge has to do that. So I think there is some misunderstanding, but again, that would be something that could be highly subject to abuse, so we want to use those as rare as possible.
Well, and sure, I mean, if you guys have only done it once, and I know you're not certain that it's only been once, but if, let's say, you've only done it once or a very few number of times, then Santa Rosa County is way under by the population average compared to the rest of the state, which means some jurisdictions are using it much more frequently, and that's also a concern, not likely because the people there are crazier than our people, but just because, the willingness of the police and the law to use it there. Shane Tucker, Chief Deputy of the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. As always, Chief, thanks for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.